This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Hi, I'm Anshul, YouTuber, Instagrammer, and a real voice for the brown girls. Join me and some very special guests where we discuss taboo subjects and really give the aunties something to talk about. Thanks to Entail for supporting this podcast. Entail is an interactive podcasting app where you can interact with the things we're talking about. We think it's the best way to listen to our show, so please do check it out. In this episode, we're speaking about interracial relationships. We're discussing anti-blackness within the South Asian community, Bollywood's negative influences, and I open up about a personal experience. My special guest today is Jonah, the founder of an amazing organization called The Blindian Project, which I'll let him tell you all about. What's even more special is this episode ended up being recorded on Black Tuesday, which was purely a coincidence, so it couldn't have come at a better time and felt extra special. I won't tell you much more. Let's get into it. Hey, Jonah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me on the show today. Appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. I've actually really been looking forward to this one. It's one of the ones I'm most excited about, to be honest with you.
Oh, amazing.
So I just would like for you to introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do and why.
Yeah, so my name is Jonah Batumzi. I'm a multidisciplinary creative and founder of a project called the Blindian Project that some of you may know about. I hope that you know about it. And if you don't know about it, I hope that you will go check it out. So essentially, let's see, I met my wife in 2001, and she was the first South Asian Indian person that I had ever been with. Of course, I had dated before, different race people before, but I'd never dated an Indian woman before. So we started this relationship, and there were just all these little things that kind of came apparent to myself that were just different from where I was coming from. I grew up in the States. I was born in Chicago. I grew up in the Midwest, so in the cornfield.
I was going to say, your accent threw me off.
Yeah. So my parents are from Uganda. They immigrated to the States in 75. I was born in Chicago, then grew up in the cornfields of central Illinois, and lived over there for about 20, 21 years. Till I decided to study abroad, and that's where I met my wife. And like I was saying, there were a lot of kind of new things to me culturally that I had to get adjusted to. And this whole process unleashed itself in what is the Blindian Project, effectively.
And can you tell us a little bit more about your love story with your wife?
Sure. So she, born in India. She spent some time in Ireland. Her parents came over, both doctors. They were kind of between Ireland and England, back and forth, just trying to get their qualifications and get their positions. She was visiting her best friend, who happened to live in my dormitory. She was over for a long weekend, and I met her at the local pub. So it was all very romantic. This started this whirlwind kind of romance. I was only over for a semester, so... I think I went up and visited her. She was studying in Dundee, medicine. I went up and visited her, and I just was kind of, my eyes were open to a completely different world. Like I said, I hadn't been with an Indian or South Asian woman before, a lot of little nuances and things that I had to get used to. End of the semester, I went back to school. We kind of did this long distance thing back and forth for a while. I came back and studied abroad for a while. And then in 2007, we were married. So, met 2001, married 2007. I probably didn't meet the parents till about, I'd say, 3.5, maybe 4 years into it. So, definitely a process. Definitely a process. Yeah. Lots of good news.
First of all, luck of the Irish that, you fell in love there. And second of all, most Indian girls or women take forever to tell their parents. So that's pretty normal, normal time frame.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was really interesting. She was studying medicine at the time. I was back in the States. I was still trying to get, kind of established myself. So to a certain extent, it suited us. I wasn't naturally pushing for a lot of the time. But when things got a bit more serious, you know, that's kind of when I was asking her about, well, when can I meet your parents? And you've met my parents, and
right,
your time, and all of those kind of fun conversations that you get into.
As you said, you know, your wife is the first Indian woman that you've been with,
yeah,
and you've dated other races before, other people before. So what kind of clear differences were there between dating an Indian woman and dating anybody else?
Yeah, I would just say one thing that really struck me is I remember the first time that she met my mother and my parents. And besides it just being like a hello and, okay, let's go hang out somewhere else in the house or go watch some TV, she really spent some time to try to build a relationship with my mother from day one. So you could tell that family was just extremely important to her and that she had this sense for older people and elders. And she just knew it was important. I'm going to need to have a relationship with this lady, with his mother, if I want things to progress. So she was just very, very, I guess, kind of intent on starting a relationship with her. And that was different from anybody that I had been with before.
And what kind of things did you find difficult to adapt to? Because where you said that there were these new kind of nuances that you had to get used to and stuff, were there any difficulties with that?
I mean, when I'm saying things like that, I'm probably, the first thing that comes to my head is, I mean, my parents met people that I had dated before. There was never a thought in their heads that, is this going to be the person that that Jonah is going to marry? I don't think it was to that extent. And, you know, in these relationships, there's this part that, you know, kind of one of you or both of you are struggling with the fact that one of you hasn't been able to be introduced to the other side's parents.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So it's some people are ambivalent about it. They're just like, well, if they don't want to meet me, I don't want to meet them. That wasn't the case for me. So, you know, it can be difficult when you're trying to, you know, maintain some type of sanity. It's easy to, you know, it can be easy to kind of get down on yourself and think that there's something wrong with you because they don't want to meet you. But, in fact, it's a lot of times it's the situation, it's the anxiousness, it's the guilt that the other person may be feeling in terms of having to break something to their parents that they know they're not going to like.
Yeah, it's definitely a bigger picture and a bigger situation. And I think also me being a brown guy, I can relate to that because you just feel like, oh my God, I could break my whole family up.
Exactly.
All for one person,
exactly.
And that's scary.
I don't know if it's me. I don't know if this is growing up in the States or just how I grew up, but there's not really this sense that you're carrying you're carrying your whole family on your shoulders, you know, and that you're going to be disappointing somebody. I mean, if you're talking about getting in trouble with the law or doing something like that, of course, people are going to be thinking about their parents. But I don't know. I guess from my side, it's just not something that I, at that point in time, envisioned as being as something that you would disown somebody or, you know, kind of break ties with them for. So that was another big part of just me coming to that realization that, like, look, things are a lot different than what I've experienced before. And even knowing that, you know, I have to not be selfish about my own self wanting to meet the parents. I need to try to realize what this other person may be going through.
Yeah, that is really challenging for you. But how did she explain? Did she explain quite early on that we might not be able to be together, or, you know, I could be disowned?
No. We never had those conversations. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people, have quite a few kind of content creators that work with me. And just recently, like, I've heard two stories, and one of them is a guy named Arian. He's one of the co-hosts on our podcast. And I think early on in him and his wife's relationship, he just talks about this moment in time when he was stood at like a tube stop, and like, I think they just hugged or something. And she's just like, I can never be with you. This could never happen. I've heard similar stories like that of people meeting, really, really getting on, they're clicking, they're vibing, nothing serious. Usually it's a lot of times it is the girl and her just saying, this can never happen. Fortunately, we never had to experience that. I mean, obviously things were going to be difficult, but it wasn't like, we can't do this, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I feel like I've been in the same position before where I have really got on with someone, I've caught feelings, and then I got all this guilt on my shoulders, and I'm kind of torn between, I can't be with you, but I want to be with you. And it's just so messy. But I also don't believe in the reason why I shouldn't be with you. It's like, how do you explain to someone that is not your race, not your culture, I can't be with you because of your skin color. Mm. And I don't agree with it, but I understand it. Like, how does that work?
I mean, it's hard when it's foreign to somebody. And that gets into a lot of this feeling of guilt and this kind of this self-worth. And because, mm-hmm. I mean, just with the times right now, I mean, there is a lot going on in society and the world that's kind of reinforcing these points. So it's almost just another section of life that is saying, you know what, you can't have what you want because, you know what, mm-hmm. it's skin color. So, difficult.
It is really difficult. I definitely caught big, big feelings for someone, and I kind of just broke it off because I was so torn. If I talk about it, I will cry. So
don't do that.
No, it's fine. Do you know what? It's better out than in. But yeah, there was just a lot of pressure, and I couldn't really talk to anyone about it. Whew, God.
Because your friends wouldn't understand either?
No, I could speak to my friends about it, but where my friends, my white friend couldn't really understand because, my black friend was luckily very understanding, even though I'm explaining to her that I can't be with someone that's your race.
Yeah.
But she totally got it.
Yeah.
Maybe because she's from an African background, so it's very similar in some ways. Mm. But so she got it. I don't really have a lot of Asian Indian friends.
Okay.
I have like a couple of guy Indian mates that I'm really close to, and their reaction was a bit just like, ooh. And you know, it's just so hard to explain. And then I did actually tell my siblings, and me and my siblings are so close.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought that they're going to back me no matter what. They might not agree with me, and they might say, Andrew, you're going to cause some shit, but they will still stand by me. And what actually happened was it totally went left, and they kind of just, I understand where they're coming from because they're thinking about my mum, and they're thinking about, you know, like the consequences and all of that, and, you know, it tearing the family apart and the bigger picture and all of that kind of stuff. So I get it, but my feelings were still involved. And I think that wasn't really considered. I'm trying not to cry again.
You had to tell the person face to face or something that you couldn't be with them for X reason.
Yeah, I literally was really clear about all the conversations I had with everyone because I really was in a place of being torn. And then I kind of was like, you know, I've also in the past, way before this, I've been in situations where I'm like, you know, swiping on Tinder or whatever, and as every single girl does, you know, swiping on Tinder and or whatever app, and I don't really specify exactly what I'm looking for because I don't care. Like if I vibe with someone, I vibe with someone. To be honest, I actually do care. It has to be of color, Indian or any shade above, whatever. The Caucasian is not quite my thing. So I didn't really kind of have any sort of specification as such. And I almost felt like I was having to, I remember saying to myself, no, Archer, okay, like, no, stop it. Just look for Indian guys. Just look for Indian guys. And I was almost like forcing myself down that route, even though I don't have anything against Indian guys, and yeah, if I did meet one, great, but I just, why am I putting myself in this one little pigeonhole when I know that that's not me? Like, and there's so many more people out there in the world. Why should I just close myself off to one type of person when I get on with loads of different type of people? So
100%. I mean, I've, like I said, again, speak to a lot of people through the platform, people messaging me, people just wanting to say thank you, people wanting to tell their experiences, their stories. And, I mean, this is something that is subconsciously or consciously just kind of beat into people. And again, most of the time that I see it, it's usually women's heads. Whether it's this whole kind of BMW thing or bring anybody home except like a black person or a Muslim person, or
that's it,
you know, all of these. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's
no, it's not subtle. In my home, it's not subtle. It literally is no black, no Muslim.
Gotcha.
That in my home, that is the rule. And that I have had many arguments when I've been single and I didn't have anyone to fight for. I still am fighting for that right to be with anyone, because that's just, that whole mentality is wrong.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sad. It's sad. So from a young age, people are kind of told not to don't bring this particular people home because of skin color religion. And then that this skin color is bad. And then, I don't know, you just kind of wonder. That's how people come away with these kind of stereotypes later on in life, because they've been told something their whole life. Sometimes they believe it, sometimes they don't believe it, but they still feel some sort of way about it.
It's just such a backwards way to think, especially when we live in such a multicultural country, even world. Like, the world is small and everyone is mixed with everyone at this point. Like, how can you think that you should only be with one type of person? And, you know, I've questioned my parents before, and I've said, give me one good reason why. If you can give me one good reason why, like an actual reason, I might actually listen to you. But if it's just because you don't like it, that's not good enough. That's not an answer.
Are you the oldest of the are you oldest of all the siblings?
No, I'm the third of four. Gotcha. And the last one to get married left. So all of them have all got their partners and whatever. And then there's me.
Did they marry as your parents wanted them to marry, or arranged?
Do you know what? No. So all of them have had love marriages, but
I love that term.
Yeah.
And it just throws me off. I'm like, hold on, what's a love marriage?
Isn't it such an Indian thing to say?
Regular marriage. But it's made to be like this something that's just like, oh, was it a love marriage? And I'm like,
it's just a regular marriage. It is such an Indian thing to say a love marriage, not just a regular marriage.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all had love marriages.
Okay.
But two of them actually have married. So one of my sisters married a Sikh guy. We're Punjabi Sikh.
Okay.
And then my sister, she married a guy that is Sri Lankan, Australian, Catholic Christian. So it is an interracial relationship still. And even with that, even though he is literally my skin tone, he's brown, but he's obviously of a different type or whatever. There was just, that was also really, really difficult for that to even happen. And she went through a really difficult time trying to get that through to my dad for a long time. And they got engaged, and he, then had to move back to Australia. So imagine they were doing long distance Australia and London for like a year and a bit until, you know, my dad kind of approved and said, all right. And when he did come here, you know, he wasn't greeted in the best way, not by us siblings or my mum, but to be quite honest, by my dad, who just is against all of this stuff and just thinks you should stick to your own. My brother-in-law's name is Nigel, and he is the nicest guy ever. Like,
yeah.
And same for my brother. So he's now married a South Indian girl. She's Indian, but she's South Indian. Yeah. But again, it's very different. And if my sister hadn't have gone through all the stuff that she'd gone through to fight all of this, I don't think it would have been as easy for him. But what is challenging for me is that, okay, you've accepted that because they're South Indian or Sri Lankan, or, you know, they've got similar skin tone. So, you know, similar. So that's acceptable. But a black person isn't? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, because it's still a different culture completely. You still know nothing about their culture. So if you're going to go and learn something about somebody else, like a new culture, why would you not want to learn about another culture? Like, why are you so ignorant?
Yeah. I mean, so we recently did a podcast on anti-blackness probably 4 to 6 weeks ago. It's great just actually researching it and looking into different things like this. But I mean, from, you know, caste system to colonization to colorism and Bollywood and music. I mean, there are all of these different forces that are kind of like feeding into this anti-blackness kind of sphere or whatever you want to call it. And then at the very top, if you can imagine, then there's all this anti-blackness like rhetoric and talk going on. The worst thing that you can absolutely, the top of the summit is actually coming into a relationship, you know, and you're going to spend the rest of life with this person. So that's what I've been thinking about recently. And but the beautiful thing is about it is that through so many of these stories, when there is this anxiousness and this nervousness and just a lot of negativity going on, like 80% of the time, whenever I speak to a couple who has came out of the other side and it's been successful, it's just like, oh, my mother adores him. Or like, oh, my father and him get out so well. Like, and it's just like, it's just kind of fear of the unknown, really. That's what I think it is. Fear of the unknown. A lot of fear about what the community is going to say and how they're going to be judged by their peers and family back home. I don't know, not really a lot of regard for what the child's like heart feels, you know?
100%. They definitely, I mean, this is what this whole podcast is about. What would the auntie say? Like, it's always what are other people thinking? What are other people going to say? And those come before their child's needs most of the time. And that is what is sad and scary. You know, it's just, it is crazy. But I just want to go back to you talking about anti-blackness. Sure. Why do you think that there is an anti-blackness in the South Asian community?
It seemed like, so from what I read and talked with a guy by the name of Dhruva Bowram, who's a writer from London, and he's from Toronto, spent a couple of years over in India and stuff, and now he's here in London. But we talked about the caste system first. So this caste system that basically divided people into different groups. Effectively, the Brahmins, who were at the top and were the light-skinned, were seen as having a certain standing in society. They were the people who were able to study based off of, I don't know if it was scriptures or some holy book. But you had them at the top, and then you had people who were having to do manual work outside. So subsequently, you're out in the sun, you're getting darker.
Yeah.
It kind of started there, and then it was, okay, there are these people doing different tasks, different skin colors, and then England and colonizers came over. They saw that there was this caste system in place that was subdividing people into different groups, so convenient for them. So they exploited it even further. Again, same thing, allowed certain people to have certain jobs. Other people weren't able to have those jobs. And it just kind of perpetuated itself from there. And then you get into media and things like that. And then you get into Bollywood and you get into the brown face and to black face in Bollywood, which is still... I mean, they're still doing it now, which...
Explain that. Sorry, just I need you to explain that more.
It's called brown face, but it's black face, right? What? So in this... Yeah, you haven't heard this or seen of this?
No, I know about blackface, but I've not seen it in Bollywood.
Yeah. So, okay, fine. So it was probably about 3-4 weeks ago. There's a London CNN reporter. Her name's Monica Sarkar. She did a CNN article about brown face in Bollywood. So in the States, obviously there was blackface. They did all of that. They just acted like they're crazy, effectively. And we're doing like stereotypes of black people, racist, clearly, right? So this whole brown face thing is that they will have movies and I mean, the people, obviously, they're not doing blackface, but they could be, let's say they're really, really light-skinned, they may go, like, six shades darker. But instead of going out and saying, okay, we need somebody who has this type of complexion, let us look for this person, they're just saying, okay, let's go for this big star and just give them about six shades darker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow, you know more about Bollywood than I do, because I don't really watch it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't... I used to, when I met my wife, that was like the entryway and like the pathway to like her showing me stuff. So I was like watching like Lagan and like Hum Toom and like Dave Das and all of this stuff, you know.
Oh, I love Dave Das.
So my kids love them now too. They love watching those, even though they can't read the captions. But But I haven't watched any recently, but I've just seen them here and there. And they're little anti blackness things that go on. There was a Priyanka Chopra movie, like 2009, called Fashion, and I think she was like a model or something like this, like living like the high life. And she started like to hit rock bottom, and her hitting rock bottom was like waking up in bed next to a black man.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, Fashion, check it out.
That is disgusting. I've seen it that was. Movie.
It was.
I don't remember that at
all. I haven't even seen the movie. All I've seen is this clip, and in like just a look on her face, like there's like a bottle of alcohol like on the back dresser, and then like I don't know how they got the actor, because hopefully he was told what the role is going to be
right
doing, and maybe he didn't care because it was Priyanka Chopra, but but yeah, it just had him like laying in bed, and like she's just like sat there looking disgusted at herself, and it was just like. It was just nauseating, to be honest.
That is disgusting, the kind of message that they're sharing in such huge Bollywood movies. That is actually disgusting. I want to talk about like some of the experiences that you've come across. Like, I know you said that a lot of the time it's extended family members talking, and have you ever kind of with your relationship with your wife, have you ever dealt with those extended family members making it difficult? Or
it was awesome, really. I mean, there was the struggle initially just to get to the point of meeting my in-laws.
Yeah. Now,
before I met them, there was like the little kind of sanity check thing you do, you know, when you're taking your partner by your like auntie's house and like your uncle's house, and they're like, yeah, he got the thumbs up from, you know, so and so and stuff like that. And I mean, I get it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think going through the process kind of helps you as a couple make sure that you're in what you actually believe you should be in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I speak to a lot of these couples, and it could be like the female that's like saying like, oh yeah, you know, like I really, really want to tell my parents, and you can just tell how much this person's in agony. And sometimes it's this feeling of hoping that the other person is as sincere and as into the relationship. Because you know you get appreciation for what that other person's going through. Well, both people, effectively.
Yeah.
But no. So aunties and uncles, great. Met them. Everything was cool. Met the parents. I mean, it was heavy for me. I had never really been involved in something like that before. Emotional. And after that, then it was just kind of, you know, I was into the process. And then from there, it was just kind of asking them for her hand in marriage. Then when we went to India, I mean, absolutely lovely. Parents, grandparents, a mama, you know what I mean? Lovely. Aunties, great, you know, taking care of me. And just really, really genuinely like trying to make sure that I'm okay.
Do you know what? That is actually so beautiful to hear, because I was expecting you to say the worst.
Nah.
I was expecting you to say, because those are the kinds of stories I do hear, and those are the kinds of stories I do receive from people.
You get a lot of people who contact you about this type of stuff.
Yes,
really,
literally all the time. I think because I talk about these things on my YouTube channel about, you know, like I share my opinion quite a bit.
Okay.
This is, to be honest, the first time I've ever opened up about my own personal situation. So you're the first to hear it.
Oh, thank you.
No, you made me feel comfortable enough. So yeah, and I just feel like this is the place to finally talk about these things. But I'm usually giving advice to other people, and they're usually like telling me their stories and the things that they're going through and their fears, you know, introducing a black guy into their family, scared of being disowned, all of that. And it just weighs so heavy. And I completely get it. I can relate because I've felt those feelings myself. And also I've seen family members of my own be with someone that is black, and they kind of got outcasted by a lot of the family. And it also, it just does happen with a lot of different families. It does. So I feel like you've got a very lucky story there, because it does happen where you get outcasted and you're on your own, and you've gone through this whole journey with your partner, and then you get disowned, and then it is just you and your partner.
Yeah, so a lot of the stories that I've heard like that, because recently there have been a few stories that we've had, and people have been really, really courageous, raw, and just genuine, and told me, you know, I was in an arranged marriage, met somebody, 20 days, we were done, we were married. 2 days after we got married, he was abusing me, and we got divorced, and my mother didn't like it, and my brother didn't talk to me. And then I met a black guy, and now we have a baby, and we are in, we're in a really good place. And, you know, what she said is that her mother finally came around, because a lot of times the parents will come around when the baby or grandchild is in play.
Right. So anyone out there listening, just have a baby.
And then, but a lot of times it may be that the, one of the parents will come around, but that like the father or something is the one who doesn't come around. And, a thing that a lot of people say to me is that, look, you have to think about you and what's going to make you happy, and live the life for you, because you're not going to make yourself happy trying to do it for somebody else effectively. So, sometimes you just need to be courageous, take that leap, and do you, and do what's going to be good for you.
Yeah. And the thing is, you have to be prepared for it being a difficult journey, but you could have a great outcome in the end. So, you know, I don't know. It's really hard, because I try and give people advice and say, you know, follow your heart, like do you, go you, because in some ways I'm not jealous. I don't know what the word is right now, but I feel like I haven't got to that point that you have. Like, you're brave enough that you know, to take those steps, and or that you're even like, you know, someone said, oh, I'm gonna elope with my African boyfriend, and I'm like, yes, sis, go you. I couldn't do it, and I wish I could. I wish I had that strength and that bravery to think, oh my god, I'm gonna lose the people that I love the most for another person that I love. Like, it's just it's really hard. So in some ways I'm jealous of those people. I don't know if jealous is the right word, but I can't think.
I know what you're saying though. Fear. I mean, if you think about it, even if you're creating something, if you're an artist, blah blah blah, people will say fear is that thing that holds you back. So we see it here in this. I have a love interest, but I'm scared, or I fear to tell them. But it happens in so many other things, and this feeling of fear holds you back and makes you lose time, and makes you feel like sometimes you don't deserve certain things, right? And it's just about building up the courage where you take that point to say, you know what, what's the worst that could happen to me?
Right, exactly.
Are you going to be okay, really?
Yeah, it's true. It's not really easy trying to change people's minds that are judgmental, like parents and family members and just anyone that is, even friends that can be judgmental. But what steps do you feel that we need to take to get rid of this stigma? And it being like such a taboo to marry outside of your race, or marry a black person, or anyone.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, I think that there are a lot of different things that that sum up this kind of sphere of anti-blackness, and black and brown love sits at the very top of this mountain. So, like I was saying earlier, I've heard so many different stories about from the time you're kind of 5, 6, 7 upwards, this whole BMW, anybody except a black person or Muslim. I mean, it goes back.
For anyone that doesn't know what BMW is, can you just explain that?
Yeah, BMW is It's black, Muslim, or white. But it's kind of like, well, black is the worst, and then there's Muslim, and then white is being seen as something that is more acceptable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like half my family on my mom's side are literally everyone is basically white now. Most of my cousins are mixed race on my mom's side, and on my dad's side, it's just straight Indian.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So anti-blackness, yes, because they are trying to be closer towards white, and the of white. And obviously, black is towards the end of the scale, and there are all these stereotypes. So there you go there. But it's just kind of like this point in time that we're in right now, which I think this is a really interesting point in time for a lot of our lives. So you have people fighting for, I'll just throw the term out there, you know, this is Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And people fighting for the justice for Black people effectively.
Yeah.
Now, it feels like, and I've never really had my head in this area, but in terms of the South Asian community, I'm seeing loads of solidarity, loads of activity, loads of people speaking up. And it feels like the South Asian community is taking this opportunity to, one, stand in solidarity and support their Black brothers and sisters, but also let's use this as an opportunity to get this damn anti-blackness out of our lives that we've been
right
about, you know,
literally. I feel like that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to like just check the people that are around me, like, yeah, check yourself,
yeah,
because this is not cool. Like, you know, you can't only have a few of us banging this drum. Everybody needs to be singing the same tune. And we do need to educate our parents, because I feel like a lot of it is the older generation, but then you do 100%. have people that are young and all of that, and I've seen it myself, that are so judgmental, and she's a bit crazy because, you know, she wants to go down that path. It's like, no, you know, and what makes you think that having Black friends is acceptable, but then the minute it's anything further, that's unacceptable? Like, what? It just doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I feel like we're all trying to.
Yeah, which is good. And I think one of the first kind of steps that people are talking about in terms of just educating people is just starting the conversation. It's having the conversation like this here, right? There could be people who are in the older generation that will, you know, listen to this podcast and hear this conversation and, you know, maybe think about some of these things, you know, think about, you know, maybe I shouldn't be telling my grandkids that they shouldn't go out in the sun because they're going to get dark. What's the matter with being dark, you know?
Right.
Maybe there is nothing wrong with them having Afro hair. So, why are you upset that they have Afro hair? And it just leads into other conversations, you know, even just engaging your parents, family, friend members about what's going on right now. What do you think about what's going on in the world? What do you think about this rioting? What do you think about this? And just starting that conversation so that you can actually get into deeper conversations about, you know, stereotypes with Black people. Because, I hear this all of the time, you know, Black men are going to get you pregnant and leave. You know, crime and things like that, and education not being of importance, and just all of these different things that you can, you know, easily start up a conversation. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, this is my love interest, I want you to meet so-and-so. Like I said, it can start off small. It could be about the current events, could be going on what's in the news. What do you think about this? What do you think about minorities having a higher proportion to dying against, you know, coronavirus and things like that? What do you think about this stuff, you know? Engaging them in conversation.
Yeah, definitely. I'm totally with you on that. I try as well. I've been trying to do this before that this, shall we say, a movement that's just happened of Black Lives Matter. I've been trying to bang this drum and try and educate.
Because it feels like you've been, it feels genuine. It looks genuine. And you've been trying to use your platform to raise awareness. How's your community been responding to it?
They've been great. I mean, I've had a couple of people say, would you really, you know, I put up a post saying, confront your parents about not being able to marry a black person, people have said, oh, would you really confront your parents if they're over the age of 60? And
do with it. I don't understand. What are they going
to bother? I feel like within our culture, it's very much like you give respect to your elders. Yes, I agree with that. You give respect to your elders, but you give them respect regardless. And, you know, they're your parents. So your parents are somewhat God, and they are, you know, I think that's the best way I can describe it. You get those people that just feel like, well, you can't say anything. But I just think, no, if I disagree with my parents' views, I'm going to tell them whether they like it or not, because they should also know wrong from right. And they don't have to agree with me, but they also need to be kept up to speed with what's going on in the world right now. And if the world has moved forward, you need to move forward with it, whether you're 60 or whatever. You need to move. So yeah, like most people have been great. Most people have been really understanding, which is lovely. And I feel like I'm talking to the right people, which is the most important thing. Yeah. I mean, you get a couple of people, but you're always going to have some negative
people. For sure. I mean, if you have four people out of 100 or whatnot that are, not getting the point, then I don't know, maybe try again and just try to help them out, and then just keep it moving, really.
It doesn't stop me if someone disagrees, if someone says, you know, you shouldn't, or I mean, I also get comments on videos for years and years of, you think you're black, or you talk black, or all of these kinds of things. And I just think, what the hell is that? Like, no one, like, I create so many different Indian looks. I'm very proud to be brown. I just embrace different, I don't know, parts of my life. But, and those comments, I feel are racist, but it doesn't make me stop. It's not going to make me stop talking about it. It's not going to make me stop, trying to use my platform to educate people on Black Lives Matter. I don't give a shit.
There you go.
I have two last questions for you, and we're going to play a game.
Okay.
What message would you send for anyone that is feeling the pressure in their interracial relationship or is scared to take the next steps?
I'd probably tell them, first of all, to come check out our sites, come check out our handles, Blending Project. Instagram is probably the most, Instagram is the most active. It's the largest community, has probably the best content on it.
Got so many great stories on there.
Yeah, it's I'm liking the shape of it. It's like I don't know if you know of the Humans in New York Instagram handle, but basically there's this guy, and it's just like a whole bunch of New Yorkers, and it's just them telling their stories. So part of the Blending Project will be, let's call it 50-60% of just these stories of couples or like a singular person telling their experience. So you can just kind of see the different variety of this person got disowned, and then a year later, they reconciled with their family. Right. This person, everything went great for them. This person is the product of a Blending relationship. So check out the sites. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of conversation. You can even just not even actually participate and just read some of the stuff there. And what I found is that a lot of people, when they come into the community, they reach or they gravitate out towards other people in the community, because the community is quite open. A lot of these people who are quite vocal are used to people approaching them. And it's, I don't know if it's, I'd call it finding a mentor, but it's almost just finding people that you can speak to who have been in a similar point in time in their life that can, you know, give you advice and give you guidance. Because I didn't have any of this really when I was coming up. It probably was 10 years until I heard of another Blending couple. Mm-hmm. Like aunties would always be saying, oh, I know this nice Telugu girl who married this black guy, but I'd never see them. I'd never meet them. And probably after about 10 years, I kind of came into the community and speaking to people. And it just makes you feel like you found, not like you found yourself, but you found kind of like another home. You found people who can relate to your experience, who know what you're doing. through. You don't
your
feel
page,
like
it definitely feels like a safe space for people to come. And, you know, you don't have to participate. You can literally just read people's stories. And I think when I first found your page, that's what I did. And I just was like, wow, hold on. There's a page like this out there, first of all. And yeah, it's really, really lovely. So yeah, definitely everyone should go and check that out. My last question for you.
Okay.
Is what message would you send to the talking aunties or family members that are putting pressure on young girls or guys that are just trying to live their best lives?
Tell them to relax and chill out a bit. I think that a lot of times their intentions are coming from the right place. Let's say if it's education or something like that. I think we all want our kids to do well and to achieve and be successful. So I can see where they're coming from. Even with the whole arranged marriage thing, like, I think that that has a lot of the right intentions. You think you know what is going to set up your child to have a happy life and a financial free life. But it doesn't always work out that way. And the world that we live in now is very different to the world that they would have came up in. So I'll just tell them to be open. I mean, that's one thing that I really want to try to do with the project is to find a pathway to be able to have conversations with that age group, even though I don't think that the most important thing is changing the mind of a 60-year-old or a 65-year-old. I think that the focus is more to impact the younger generation, but still at the same point in time, I want to have those conversations with the older generation to just understand,
definitely.
Really.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Understand and to be able to help.
I mean, it would be hard. I want to know where there's an auntie that's willing to talk and open up about what.
I'm going to find them. Trust me.
When you find them, pass them over.
I will. I'll send them your way after that. But yeah, I want to have them on the podcast. I want to just sit down, talk to them and just try to understand.
Definitely. Amazing. Right. So we're going to play a game now.
Okay.
And it's quick fire questions. I'm going to say a word and you're going to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. Literally quick. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes. Let's go.
Aunties.
Love them, hate them.
Burfi.
Not a super fan.
Ooh. Weddings.
Amazing.
Swear word.
Required.
Money.
Comes and goes.
Makeup.
Don't use it.
Family.
Always got love for them. Always want to be with them. Want to have time for them.
Chai.
Need to get into it.
What? Dogs.
I've loved the dogs that we've had. We've had two dogs. Loved them.
Cute. Last one. Priyanka Chopra.
Miss me. Sorry. It just put such a bad taste in my mouth when... from that movie.
I know because she's done such positive things and you know she's tried to make such an impact speaking about colorism and things like that.
But didn't she promote skin whitening creams though to herself?
I believe she did, but don't quote me.
Okay, I think she did, and you're saying what, that now she's speaking against them?
Yeah, she was saying that she was called dark or dusky.
Yeah, dusky. And
she's spoken a lot on colorism, and yeah, she's all about that woman empowerment.
Mm. Okay.
So interesting that she took that role.
Yes, it is. Really, really hear a lot of mixed reviews on hers, but I haven't seen any of her movies, so I can't really say too much except for that fashion scenario that I know about.
Yeah, which isn't great.
No.
Can you tell us about any future plans that you've got coming up with the Blindium Project?
Yeah, for sure. So Blindium Project, really excited about that. We are at a position of the of our content cycle where we're just starting to talk about the in the beginning, what happens in the beginning. What emotions you feel in the beginning? Is it guilt? Is it something about self-worth? Is it the courage to actually tell your parents? We're really going to cycle through the kind of whole bits of the relationship. So we'll talk about, you know, wedding and having multicultural kids and all that good stuff. So
yes.
I'm starting to get into the kind of the bread and butter of it, which I'm really enjoying about that. Community's growing, a lot of interest, and just speaking and collabing with other people such as yourself. And then just recently started an event series called Rum and Roti with this guy, DJ Donnie Brasco, and a girl named Priya, which I'm really, really excited about. Obviously, we have to do it online for the time being, but once we're able to get out of the houses and mix and mingle with other people, really, really super excited about that. It'll be a mixture.
That will be so cool, and I love the name, by the way.
It's going to be wicked, thank you. It'll be a mixture of kind of artwork, music, and storytelling, just people telling their stories. And we put it together. It's to celebrate the intersection of Black and brown culture. So we are trying to create a platform for us where we can, you know, celebrate each other and intermingle together and just have a good time and enjoy.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you. I've actually loved having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Cool. Thank you.
Wow, what an episode. I feel like I've really got some things off my chest, and it was just so amazing to be speaking about a topic that is quite close to my heart, as well as so relevant to what's going on in the world right now. Thank you, Jonah, for making me feel comfortable enough to open up with you and for all the amazing work you're doing to help and inspire other interracial couples out there. This has definitely got to be one of my favorite weeks and subject to talk about. And so much so, I've got a bonus episode right after this one. So please go ahead and have a listen for more with a new special guest.